future is now. And welcome to the SVK Crypto Podcast. 15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name is Charles Story. I will be your host the next 15 minutes. We're coming live from the city of London, Shoreditch. So let's get down to business. Before we jump into the show, we've got some big news. Coinbase Pro has just announced it's going to list EOS, Maker, MKR, and Augur onto Coinbase Pro, which is really big news for EOS as a whole and something that's going to increase sharper volumes. So that's something we're all going to be looking forward to on Coinbase Pro Exchange and something we're going to be looking at with the EOS volumes in the next 24 to 48 hours. The next question is, when is Coinbase, the retail side of the exchange, going to list EOS itself? But we'll find out soon. With that in mind, let's get down to business. Let's get into the show. We've got so much lined up. We've got so much in store. So let's get right down to it. So to kick things off, we had big news today out from Société Générale. Owned bank launches a blockchain exchange node. So what does this all mean? Well, Kleinwort Hambros, a Société Générale private bank and wealth manager, has launched an actively managed exchange-traded node, ETN, targeting the blockchain sector. The London-based bank announced that news today, saying its Luxembourg-listed ETN will invest in companies that could profit most from the development and increasing uptake in blockchain technology. ETNs are unsecured debt securities that, like exchange-traded funds ETFs, are traded on a stock exchange. The blockchain note will initially have 20 stocks diversified across areas including technology, shipping, oil and gas, custody and industrials. Kleinwort Hambros portfolio manager Jim Birdwood said, "We have seen increasing interest from clients in the area of blockchain, and we're very excited to be able to cater to this demand with the launch of our first blockchain note. The product will provide its clients with a diversified exposure to the promising growth prospects blockchain technology offers while maintaining the rigorous active management," Birdwood added. It's also worth noting that the ETN will be available for Kleinwort Hambros is existing and new clients with a minimum investment of £1,000 or $1,305. The centuries-old bank, or bank itself, has assets under management of £14.2 billion and over 900 employees as of last year, according to its own figures. In similar news, investment management firm company Invesco and Elwood Asset Management jointly launched a blockchain exchange-traded fund, an ETF, on the London Stock Exchange last month. The crypto community's ongoing wait for the Bitcoin ETF, however, is still awaiting a decision from the Securities and Exchange Commission in the US. However, several exchange-traded products, ETPs for Bitcoin and other cryptos, have gone live for trading in Europe. Now, this is really, really interesting, and here's why. When we look at venture capital, when we look at innovation, when we look at technology, and when we look at technology innovation, it's normally West Coast of America that leads the way, and Europe follows. And that's how it's been with venture capital. We see higher risk takers in the US. We see the first money in really coming from the US. We see those guys leading the tech boom in the 90s. We've seen them lead many other tech-related innovations. But what this has just clarified is that we are seeing more financial innovation and financial inclusion from the Europe. We're seeing ETPs, exchange-traded products. We're seeing ETNs, exchange-traded notes, all coming from Europe. Now, this is the first time that we're starting to see that. We're starting to see Europe take a lead in that sense, catering and creating financial instruments for their clients. So this is really interesting. This is something that really could put Europe in the lead when it comes to innovating new technologies. And this is something that we could see change while we see more and more people coming over to Europe to develop projects due to quicker regulation change. So this is something we'll keep you guys posted with, but something I'm very excited by, especially here in London. There's so much happening day in and day out, so much positivity, so much productivity, and so much innovation here that London's really catering itself to become the first blockchain hub of the world and really building itself up to be that as well, especially with the community. Now you have the financial world backing and creating products around that. We're also going to be encouraging innovation from venture firms like us here at SVK Crypto, ready to help grow and build the blockchain ecosystem, in particular EOS for us, but there's others out there looking to grow other protocols. So it's a really interesting, exciting place to be. Okay, so up next, let's talk about Western Union. Western Union integrates with crypto wallet to expand Philippines remittances. This is big news. The reason why is because Western Union is really under attack. When you look at the blockchain technology and the ability to transfer value all around the world, for those who don't know, Western Union is a money transfer giant that is pretty much charging people to send small amounts of money all around the world, extortionate rates and fees, right? So let's jump in and find out more about this. So Western Union has teamed up with blockchain startup Coins.ph to enable residents of the Philippines to more easily receive cash remittances. The newly inked deal will see both international and domestic payments made via Western Union's network arrive directly in the digital wallets held by Coin.ph. Coin.ph is over 5 million users, the startup announced today. So the service aims to offer quick and convenient access to remittance in urban and remote underserved areas, Coins.ph said, adding that the linking with Western Union's digital and retail networks enable customers to receive payments from virtually all nations and territories worldwide. With possibly 10 million Filipinos working and living outside their home nation, the Philippines is one of the top destinations globally for remittances. It's also a growing industry. So with the industry as a whole, especially in the Philippines, growing, Coins.ph cited Banco Central Philippines, BSP, the central bank for the Philippines, citing those guys saying that this is a booming industry and already remittances from Filipinos abroad has reached $2.7 billion worth of value since July of last year. And this is a growing industry. So Molly Shi, Senior Vice President and General Manager of Global Money Transfer Asia Pacific Western Union, said, with the collaboration with Coins.ph, we are delighted to offer customers in the Philippines an unmatched depth of services and capabilities and convenience right at their fingertips. So Coins.ph offers financial services for Philippines residents, including those who do not have a bank account, offering a mobile wallet, enabling services such as remittances, bill payments, and cryptocurrency purchases. The firm holds both virtual currency and electronic money issuer licenses issued by the central bank there. So they're really ahead of the game in many ways, because blockchain has the ability to disrupt the Western Union business model in a massive way. So what have Western Union done? Well, they've found someone with all the licenses. They've found someone who's operating a legitimate cryptocurrency and blockchain-focused value transfer firm. And they've basically gone and they started working with them. Well, this is probably quite strategic on their half. They're starting to work with them, for two reasons. One, to understand how they do it, how this works. And the second is potentially looking to acquire them. Why would they go through all the effort of going through all the licenses themselves? I'm sure they have them, but if they don't, why would they go through all the effort when they can acquire a company like that and basically own that space? They're very worried and very paranoid that someone has the ability to start, or a startup has the ability to disrupt their business model. So people like Western Union at first have been rejecting blockchain and not looking positively upon it, to now really working with the industry and working with the players, movers and shakers, and really trying to understand what's going on and how they can get a paycheck out of it, pretty much. And we're going to see more and more industries like that, more of them big players coming into the space, working out what's going on and how they can be positioned within that so they don't lose their control and market cap. So is it time for a blockchain Brexit? This is a interesting conversation. So there is a crisis in government. I'm not talking about Bitcoin, but Brexit. Britain's exit from the European Union, the EU, is not so much a technical crisis between a hard fork and a soft fork, but a legitimacy crisis. Yet the solution to its core dilemma, politically deciding between a hard Brexit and a soft Brexit, may actually lay in harnessing blockchain technology's great potential as an economic governance system for the digital age. So one thing's clear, the current system is failing. The impasse in Britain requires a radical rethink. Unless even more time is requested by the UK and unanimously granted by all 27 member states of the EU, the default option is the UK to chaotically crash out of the European Union trade bloc, but leaving without a legal agreement on Friday, April 12. As laws have borders, this lack of legal certainty is particularly troubling as it risks disrupting cross-border supply chain networks, which would be bad news for everyone. So where blockchains can help is that it cryptographic certainty avoids the need for bordered thinking in the borderless world created by the internet. A world where laws are difficult to enforce and collaboration difficult to, to incentivize. So, you know, could thinking harder about what we mean by a border be the key to unlocking the current political deadlock? Now, I'll go on to explain this a little bit further. So let's consider the 500-kilometre border between the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland and the failure of a suitable Irish backstop. No one, not in EU exiting Britain, nor in the EU remaining Ireland, wants to return to the troubled times or physical checkpoints that might place lives at risk. All agree this issuance policy should be honoured regardless of the outcome of future EU and UK trade negotiations. So even though it's never supposed to be called upon the backstop, a last resort to maintain the island's open border. Risk creating regulatory border in the Irish Sea, which is unacceptable because Northern Ireland would be treated differently from the rest of the UK. Yet Britain is supposed to be the what the implies an exit from the EU rules and self-determining of free flow of goods and services across international borders. So how can policymakers come up with a solution that honours that change, reimposing tariffs and controls while still protecting human lives? So in the internet age, the government's borders that matters most are not bound along geographically or political lines. They are based on time and an inversible metric that is fairer and arguably the hardest of hard borders. You can't go back in time. And if you get down to it, the concept of a border in time is what a blockchain represents. And to kind of explain this further, that is why today people are calling out for the UK and EU governments to participate in a bottom-up process to establish a Brexit blockchain, where customs authorities use a blockchain architecture to take the friction out of tariff enforcement by agreeing that the provenance of economic activity on a temporal and not geographical basis. The key would be to use a government-recognized stablecoin to lock-unlock product delivery to incentivize deployment and to complement existing solutions for digitizing international trade for firms like the UK's Provenance, Denmark's Maersk, and France's Carrefour. Individual per-product tariffs could be implemented with automated payments made as products move back and forth across national borders. Their tariffs could be dynamically adjusted as political demands dictate, with as many borders in time and currency pair stablecoins as needed. Now, this would be able to trade in the background. So initially, a euro to pound stablecoin would be used to nominal or zero tariffs enforced. So this gets really interesting because when the withdrawal agreement doesn't mention the internet, a big zero, where does one even start a multitasking stakeholder process? I would start the coordination game by listening to the industry at next month's consensus conference and learn from existing international governance organizations. Then I'd take any output to the organization or the International Organization for Standardization, the ISO, and basically from there try and build something up that could potentially help this. But blockchain potentially has the answer for the crisis we're facing here in the UK. So listen, if you enjoyed today's show, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Subscribe now. We're blown away by all the new subscribers. So welcome all to the SVK Crypto 15 Minutes of Crypto Fame podcast. And if you're an existing listener, welcome back. If you haven't already, hit us up on Telegram, SVK Crowd, and hit us up on Twitter at SVK_crypto. With that in mind, that's a wrap. I got to bounce. Thank you for your time and attention, as always.